Welcome, everybody, to the LMT, the Journey Podcast, Baby Edition.
Why are you whispering?
Because the baby's here.
Yes, but the baby's in the other room.
Okay, that's true. That's true.
Wow, yeah. So, I had a baby. For those listeners out there that were wondering what we're talking about, I had a baby. Well, I didn't have a baby. My woman had a baby.
But you guys made a baby.
We did make a baby.
You're a little human.
She made the baby. And actually, she did a lot of mostly everything. I hardly did anything.
Yeah, you had a small part in the beginning.
Small part. to her credit, it was 17 minutes from the time we arrived at the maternity center to the time the baby came out, which is pretty dope. She's an Amazon.
That's badass.
Yeah, it's pretty badass. So that was cool. We had that going. Yeah. And it's a life changer.
She's so little.
She is little. And she'll grow up in a gym. She'll be a martial artist or a lawyer.
Well, she already has long legs.
She does have long legs. Indeed. On that note, and a Thai name.
Yeah?
Yeah. I know. It's interesting. But anyway.
I just didn't know where it came from. And then when she told me, I'm like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Like an homage.
Yeah, we both love Thailand and turned out perfect. Yeah. So, you, while I was in the process of baby having, were doing the comic book festival.
Oh yeah.
What
SuperCon?
SuperCon.
South Florida SuperCon.
Yeah, and I went. I took the 6-year old.
Yeah.
We wore matching Batman shirts.
For our first Con ever.
Yeah, she didn't want to take any pictures with anybody.
Well, it's a little. You came on a Sunday. Like, it's a little, when you first go, some kids either super embrace it or some kind of just, like, what is going on right now?
Yeah. So I'm wondering, I'm like, she beats me up all the time. You know, she's picking up everything she can pick up. She has a good rear neck choke. She knows how to throw good strikes. And she's 6. So her TV shows are like Power Rangers or, you know, whatever, karate something, kung fu this, whatever it is. So we get there, we're walking around, and I'm like, that's the Blue Ranger. Look at the Blue Ranger. Don't you want to go get a picture or a signature or whatever? And she's like, yeah, Blue Ranger.
Yeah.
I said, well, this is a Pink Ranger. She's like, eh. Yeah.
Well, there's Spider-Man and Deadpool.
Yeah, lots of Deadpools.
Yeah, they're popular right now.
Super popular. I would say trendy.
Yes. But he's kind of always been one of those popular characters.
Niche characters?
Yeah, like Deathstroke right now. He's also really popular right now.
True that. Word. So, anyway, this is us. We're back again, and we're glad to be here.
Yeah, definitely.
We're glad you're listening. If you're listening, you are listening, aren't you?
Well, we're just kind of, yeah, we're just assuming everyone is. Because it's such an awesome first podcast.
So let's talk fights. What fights have we seen lately?
The Ronda Rousey.
Oh, my second. Goodness.
16 yeah, seconds.
Not much to talk about there. Don't exchange with Ronda Rousey. New lesson learned.
Yeah. Well, even Ronda said that she was surprised that Davis came out so aggressive. That she was like, she thought maybe she would feel her out a little bit, but no.
And then her hand exploded.
Yeah, but that makes sense when you punch someone 9 times in the face.
Yeah.
It's like, it's gonna happen.
But it was amazing. Yeah. And that throw. Jeez, Lord.
Yeah. I think Davis's worst enemy was herself. Because her body's natural response when was knocked out was to hang on.
Mm-hmm.
If her arms just would, if she would just like went limp, it would have been called before even the third punch had been thrown. That's so the fact true. That she, her subliminal.
Her body said, I'm going to sleep. Her arm said, no, you're not.
But that was bad. That was like 9 hits later.
Yeah.
They're like, oh.
You know what they say about judo? The ground don't miss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who else fought in that card? There's another. Oh, BJ.
That was the day after.
Oh, the day after.
Machida and...
Machida and Weidman. I'm going to keep it real. Still love Machida.
Mm-hmm.
And even more real. Still, now I'm less impressed with Weidman. I know people have watched him and like, wow, now Weidman beat Machida. And I went, yeah, but...
But less impressed?
Yeah. Because, I mean, I think the fight was Machida's to lose. I didn't see Weidman do anything more than he already has done. I thought that Machida played it really safe in the first couple of rounds.
But he shouldn't have played that safe.
Which allowed Weidman to, and Weidman pressed. I mean, I'll give him credit, he pressed, but I didn't see him go in there and, like, super destroy somebody.
Well, it wasn't, like, awe-inspiring.
Right.
Where we've seen, like, Silva
And at the end, the last two rounds, Machida won, clearly.
Yeah.
So, for me, I'm not dissing Weidman. I think he's a great fighter, obviously, as the title and all that, and what the hell do I know? But I wasn't any more impressed by him. And still love Machida. I still love his style. I just wish he would have started a little earlier. And maybe if he would have won the first round, I think the fight would have been his. But he let it sort of pass between his fingers.
That's true. Happens. That's true. I kind of feel like, I don't know if we're ever going to see a performance from Weidman that makes him like the next Silva.
Right. Yeah, maybe not.
But we'll see. I mean, you never know.
And I just want to quickly, briefly talk about BJ. Okay, BJ. This is from somebody that absolutely loves everything you've done. If you ever do decide to fight again, which I'm sure you won't, please submit people. You do it so well, and you're almost always in a position to do it. And nobody can beat your jiu-jitsu, so from me to you, choke somebody for damn sake.
I still haven't seen that fight yet.
Don't see it.
I know you told me not to,
so. Your feelings.
I only saw it was the last 10 seconds.
Oh, we didn't even talk about lion fights, man.
Oh.
Okay. Tiffany Van Soest, spinning elbow, crack on the nose. Sickest spinning elbow I've seen in a long time. And the girl she fought was a monster. That girl got up from that and fought the rest of the fight. She was like,
heart
and tough as nails. Yeah, she took some blows, man. Oh, except for the push kick. The last blow was the teep to the mouth.
Mm.
And she turned around. It looked like she was fixing her sports bra because after she got teeped, the foot went into the sports bra, yanking it down, which might have been a planned act. We're watching you, Tiffany Van Soest. Either way, she was getting beat on pretty good. But she fought, man. She was still throwing. And loved it. Who else fought on that card?
Oh, God, I'm blinking.
Oh, title fight. Kevin Ross.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Ross wins the title. Shocking. He fought another guy that was bringing it, man. Bringing it. That guy was not stopping. But, you know, when you got it, you got it.
Yeah.
And Kevin Ross definitely got it.
I like lion fights. They do
good. Lion fights is good, man. I love it. Let's see what else. And then we had fights this weekend. Yesterday.
Yeah. The UFC fight night.
UFC fight night.
In Jersey. Again.
Finishes upon finishes. I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, people are... Listen. Donald Cerrone.
That was awesome.
Cowboy is killing it right now. And I'm going to have to say that I agree with anybody that says he's, like, maybe the top guy at 55.
He broke a record that night. The most finishes at that weight. He beat Nate Diaz.
Yep. And let's keep it real, man. He's not only calling out 55ers at the end of that thing. He said anybody at 55 or 70 that wants to fight. I'm like, wow.
But you did the Twitter that Nate did back to him. Because he beat him. So he's like... But he's retired. Nate's retired.
Right. It's funny because I saw that he had passed Nick's finishes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, I wouldn't mind seeing him and Nick fight. And then I thought, oh, you know, he fought Nate already. And Nick and Nate have a similar style. And Nick's bigger. May not be the best matchup.
They didn't go so
often. Although, and also we're talking about somebody that hasn't fought in 2 years.
Oh my God, it has been a while. Been.
Yeah. No, you still feel like he's in there, but he's not in there.
True.
So what else is going on? We got fighters getting ready to fight?
Yes. August 8th in Tampa.
August 8th in Tampa. Master Mirdad's Muay Thai Classic. First guy I ever fought under. First promoter. And he's putting on shows again. So we got three going up. Got my 135-pounder, Sarah Upmore.
Mm-hmm.
I got William Candelaria at 155. And Felipe. Nature Boy Puente. Babyface Puente.
There's a few nicknames.
Calderon. He's got a million nicknames.
I was calling him Damian Wayne.
That works as well. I called him Mark Smallberg yesterday. He laughed at me. He thought it was funny. Taking credit.
That's, you know, a unique nickname.
Yeah, he's 125. Yeah. And he's ripped up. So,
superhero fitting. Body. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what's going on this side. What else we got going?
You're in training. You're in fight camp.
I'm not really in fight camp. I'm in fight camp-ish.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm playing around with the younger people and realizing I need to work harder. But it's fun.
But like watching you, like your diet's changing. You're starting to like cleaner. You know,
I'm trying to get back off the sugar. I like sugar.
It's so good.
I like chocolate.
Oh, it's so good. It's good too. Peanut butter.
Mike Dolce, help me out, bro. I mean, I know these guys are paying you mad money to you come to their place and cook them food and all that. I don't have the money, but I do got a kitchen.
And the will.
And the will. You can come through and make me some turducken or whatever the hell you're making these guys.
Turducken.
That's turkey inside of a duck inside of a...
But is that what they're eating?
Turkey. I'm just... God, I hope not. What if that's like the key to... You gotta eat some really strange foods.
You're like, oh, that's great. Champion. Gotta be champion.
Gotta be champion. Turducken.
What else is going on?
Let's talk Ronda Rousey's hand real quick.
The cyst?
Yeah.
I can believe that.
I remember when Tyrone Spong was about to fight and he had that gigantic knuckle. And I wonder if that was a similar thing, right? A big ass knuckle. So I will say this, protect your hands.
Yeah.
I do know this for a fact. I have this really strong will to throw the right hand constantly. I love to take a low kick and throw a right hand. That's like one of my favorite things to do. Mm. I don't know if it's my favorite. It's just something that happens naturally for me. And over the years now, my wrist sort of sore, and I think mostly because I wasn't wrapping right and, you know, different things like that. So if you can have somebody wrap your hands in your fight, do that. If you go to the gym and you're going to wear gloves, wrap your hands properly, some padding.
Yeah, but there's different ways of doing it. Because even Stitch has, when he does people's wraps for their hands for fights, he asks them, you know, do you grappler's wrap or puncher's wrap? And it's on purpose because he makes it's different. Play around a little bit, I guess. Try different ones, see how it feels until you find the right one.
And what about you? What's going on with you?
I have 77 days.
Damn it, these days! So I'm talking to Jen, and she's been out for... How long have you been out now? You're not out now. Now you're training, but...
Yeah, a couple years.
A couple years, man, with these knee issues. And now she's back. She's moving around. She's doing sparring. She's doing all these things. So I tell her, you know, that's it. We're going to put you in a fight in October. And so ever since I said that, she started to count down the days.
It's like, it was 80 days.
80
was,
days. Okay. 79 days.
I can do it.
I'm like, all right. Don't count down the days. You're going to drive yourself crazy.
It's like 2.5 months.
That works.
Yeah.
That works.
Ballpark.
Well, I think you're going to do great. You got the will.
That's true. I do have the will.
The will to win.
I have a lot of things I need to work on.
Don't we all?
How long did it take you as a fighter to stop being your worst critic?
I still am. I think if you're not your worst critic, then you're not going to achieve the next level of that you want. I mean, if you're not looking at yourself going, man, I got to fix that or I got to work on that. My friend Gingy Brown, who owns a gym here in Miami, when we used to talk to people, we'd always tell them, you know, I've been doing this for however long. I'm still working on my jab. And people can say whatever they want, but for me, it's a constant effort on working. I feel like if you decide I'm not working on things anymore, I'm just going to do what I do, then at that point is probably the point you need to stop.
The plateau.
At least stop fighting. Still train. But if you're not working on trying to make things better or, you know, adding to your repertoire, don't get in there with somebody, because I guarantee they are working on it.
Well, then, when did you get to the part where you're at least okay with yourself? Because I know whenever I spar, or whenever I do bag work, or I do anything at all, it's like all I see is how I can get better and do better, and I'm never really satisfied. Like, people are like, oh, you did a good job. I'm like, meh. I could do better. Like, but I watch other people, and I feel like they seem more satisfied with themselves. Like,
Yeah, I would say it's been a while, you know, a few years. I think what happened was I had a really tough fight or two, and after that I realized that it just doesn't matter, man. Whoever you're sparring with or fighting, or it doesn't matter. You just have to go in there with the will to I see that word keeps coming up. You have to go in there with the desire to be there, first and foremost. You got to want to be there. And you got to not care about what consequences may be. That's what you signed up for. So whatever the consequences might be, they might be. And that might be in training. That might be in the fight. You already know you're going to get hit. You might get hurt or worse. I mean, bad things have happened. So I think once I sort of decided and accepted what the consequences might be, then it sort of changed me. I don't think about it anymore. It doesn't matter who I spar with. I've sparred with world champions, and you know, it just doesn't matter. They're people like me. Everybody's a person. They might be a little more skilled, but you know, I'm confident in the skills that I do have. So,
but like, when did you feel confident in those skills? Like, was there like a moment where you're like, "Wow, okay, I'm actually not that bad."
It had to be when I was sparring somebody that I thought was at a really high level. I think I've sparred with some people and then not sparred with them for a year and then sparred with them again and went, hey, not so bad this time.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like it's a constant effort, constant work in progress. But if as long as you realize that you're going in there to do a certain thing and you accept that and you're not, it's not in your head, you're not thinking about it so much, then it becomes easier. The more you think about it, the less easy it is.
Yes, that's, I think, a problem a lot of us have, being in our head, overanalyzing every single little angle and move.
You know that clicking when you're going up the roller coaster where it's like click, 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 and you go, man, maybe I shouldn't have not got on this thing. I should have just stayed. When they said, are you sure? I should have said, yeah, I'm sure. Go ahead, guys. I'll meet you at the bottom. But then you get to that top and you go, oh, shit, all right, here goes. I think that's when that's sort of the same feeling. It's like you just get to that point in your training and in your mind where you're just like, I'm at the top of the roller coaster.
Go.
So for everybody out there that's sort of in that mindset of, should I, or is this going to happen, or that's going to happen? Yeah, it might happen. So accept it. Fully accept it. And everything else goes out the window.
Very zen.
Very zen, I suppose.
In your face kind of zen, though, because it's trial by fire.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, it's funny because you say that. I always talk about, like, in amateur fighting, once you're past four fights, I mean, you're pretty much in there with, I don't want to say killers, but you're in there with people that are in there to do the damn thing, because past four fights, people usually drop after their second fight. If they're not really into it, third fight, they're gone. Those people aren't, they're not fighting in the 10 and 12s and 15 fight. They're just not doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's too much for somebody that's not pursuing it. Hmm. You know, nobody wants to go in there their sixth and seventh and eighth time to face somebody knowing that, you know, they got a 9-to-5 job waiting, or they're working full time at Walmart or whatever the hell it is because they want to feed their family and they're not really interested in fighting long term. You know, usually people that are in there their first few fights, they're in there because they want to try it out or, you know, whatever. The problem is they're going to run into somebody that's tougher and badass at some point. There's a lot of tough guys out there.
Well, there's people too that when they get hit in the face, they're like, oh, this isn't what.
Well,
what? This is.
Hopefully they got hit in the face in the gym.
Well, yeah, but there's like, they're sparring with people that are your friends, and they're sparring with someone that has an intent to really hurt you. And there's a big difference. I think that I've seen fights where the person even looks fucking, oh, can we swear on this? Sorry.
That might be the first time I've heard you swear. Please, swear away.
Where, you know, they're in the gym, you're training with your friends, but there's not, you're not really trying to, like, break their face. You're
really?
Just...
Did you see Eric and Felipe sparring last week?
That was actually kind of cool.
Yeah. That looked like... That was, like, Shootbox from, like, you know, early 2000s.
But even then, like, they weren't trying to... I feel like there was no malintent. There was no, I'm going to send you home on a body bag. There was, I'm going to hit you really hard.
No, they like each other.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, when you go against someone else who doesn't know you and they're going to give you 110% because they don't want you... I don't know what I'm trying to say.
No, I got it. I always talk about the same thing. We talk about this a lot. And you have to go in there realizing that that might be your friend. This is what happens. You go in there and then you get a little lazy because it's your buddy. You throw a lazy kick. And first thing that might happen is that you might injure yourself. You might throw a lazy kick and hit a knee or hit whatever, and then your foot's hurt. Right? That's the first thing, bad thing that happens. The second bad thing that happens is that you create these sort of bad habits, these lackadaisical sort of habits where when the fight actually comes around and you're really supposed to be going at it, your mind is sort of saying, we're just hanging out, chilling at the gym. Mm. Meanwhile, the person across from you is going, I'm going to try to stick my fist through his head.
Exactly.
Right. So I always tell everybody, it doesn't matter what speed you're going at, you need to be on point with your skill level and your technique and all of that. Don't get lazy.
But what I'm trying to say is, like, when I've seen amateur fights where you can kind of tell the fight, you know, they went through a fight camp, you have to respect your opponent, but you can kind of tell that killer edge isn't really there. And then when they get punched in the face really hard or they get the body shot, they just crumble. And then those people, I feel like they may come back for a second time, but since they never... You posted that. Training with lions. You become lion.
Yeah, that's true.
Along those lines. It's not just the four fight thing. It's the how's your fight camp going? Do you actually have the mentality to get in there? Because it's a test. You test yourself the first fight. Oh, crap. I didn't do so well. Or they call out like Felipe's opponent did.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I have to
work. That's the other thing. The nerves, man. People, they go through this training. They're like, training camp. Oh, I'm going to fight. And then, like... You get this feeling somewhere in that, at least for me, I don't know about everybody else, somewhere in the 6-week, 5-week area where you're like, you're sitting and not even really thinking about it, then the fight pops in your head, and then all of a sudden your heart starts beating a little bit fast, your hands get a little bit sweaty, and you go, oh shit, I'm going to fight somebody. I'm going to go and fight another human being. And then you start having those like weird doubts or thoughts like, oh, am I going to do this? What am I thinking? Is this the right thing to do? I don't know. So you got to make it through that.
But everyone goes through that, I feel like.
They do. But some people, like we talked about, Felipe's opponent dropped out the last fight. Chris Hill's opponent dropped out the last fight. They had to get somebody else. I mean, people drop out. They'll just stop. Some people quit at the smart time before they ever get in there.
Yeah.
And then other people get in there and they quit.
They freak out.
Well, look, man, nobody who's used to... scrapping. I mean, well, you gotta be used to it in the gym.
But this is where, like our last podcast, we talked about the first fighters who came in, they were fighters. And then now we have people who are athletes.
Right.
So when you watch some of these UFC fights, you can kind of tell that it's the athlete. And usually it's the athlete that gets punched in the face that kind of tends to freak out.
Sometimes.
They're just not.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm still, you know, I'm gonna talk about this martial arts thing one more time because... Last night, I'm not sure which fight it was. I can't think of... oh, my goodness. I'm not sure the guy's name. Either way, knocks out the opponent and then proceeds to hammer fist 3 times until the referee got there. And it was a clear knockout. Not happy with that. Not good. What? I just feel like I get both sides. I get you got to go until the referee says stop because what if your opponent recovers and then they come out and win? And then there's also the chance that you don't hit and the referee goes, no, keep fighting. But I think there also has to be...
It's a fine line.
There's a fine line, man. You got to... When Machida knocked out Mark Munoz...
And he stopped mid-punch because he realized he already won.
Absolutely. When Muhammad Ali knocked out George Foreman, same thing. This is what happens when you know your job is done. There's no need to go smashing guys in the face 5 and 6 times after they're clearly not going to recover.
True. I think there was I can't remember who it was, and that drives me crazy. It was in a fight. The guy knocked him out, but apparently he woke back up and then was talking shit to the fighter the whole entire time, being like, whoa, I was awake, da-da-da. So then he's like, you know what? Next time I fight somebody, I'm going to keep going until the referee pulls me off them because I don't want to have that decision or that fight and then it have to start up again.
Right. I mean, I get it. I get it. I just think that... There has to be, this is where I think the martial arts side of fighters has to show through, because I think they have to have some, take some responsibility upon themselves to realize that
the person's out.
They got a family at home. They might have kids.
Well, Ronda Rousey.
And it's not about they're watching their kids.
Yeah.
You know, their kids watching. It's more about, you know, longevity. And then you can always say, oh, well, if they didn't want to do that, they didn't want to have that situation, they shouldn't get in the sport.
Well,
but
how about Davis? She had, was it 9 blows to the head and she was out? Like,
I think that was a different scenario.
Think
did,
so?
Did she know she was out? Because she was still wrapped around her arm.
Her arm
was wrapped around the body.
I'm still waiting for the interview. I want to hear what Davis has to say. I want to see, you know, but there hasn't been anything. Like, she's, it's like gone
silent.
Here's
what Davis has to say. She has to say, what the hell happened? And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I think she went out there and she, listen, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
I think she's awesome. But I think maybe the approach was wrong and she just got caught in a weird way and then got thrown. Listen, stay, if you're fighting somebody that has judo, stay outside and scrap until you get, you know, until you have the right way to get in there and do what you need to do.
Was it on the Josh Barnett show where he said, if someone does judo, stay away from their hips?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just common. I think it's common sense.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen what she's, especially if you've seen it working over and over and over, and how hard people are getting slammed, etc.
Well, they even showed her in a jiu-jitsu tournament throwing a girl, and the referee had the shot, like the shock face, the oh, holy
yeah.
crap!
Yeah, I've worked some judo, done some judo. It's devastating.
Yeah, but yeah, like you have to know as a fighter to like when to stop.
Yeah, man. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the idea, and I know that they're saying go until the referee says and all this thing, but you also have to realize that that's another human being, and that person's been through the same things that you've been through in your camp to try to get to where they want to be as well. And if you were knocked out, you wouldn't want somebody smashing you 5 more times in the head
that's
unnecessarily.
Brain damage.
Exactly.
Which fight was it? John Jones, where he choked out somebody out?
Machida.
Standing guillotine, and then just like let go and let him fall to the ground.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty asshole-ish.
Like, you know, come on.
I mean, I get it. Trust me, I understand. But maybe it's just me. You know, I have a heart.
When I saw that, I feel like that was distasteful.
Distasteful.
Mm-hmm.
Good word.
Mm-hmm.
Better than assholeish.
Yeah. Well, I try to be.
DC. Oh. This is important.
What?
Because you're sitting here wearing the Supergirl shirt.
Oh, that's right.
Let's tell everybody how you got the nickname Supergirl.
That's right. So, I'm from Chicago. I moved to South Florida.
I, too, am from Chicago. I just thought everybody should know that.
Yeah, both Bulls fans. High five.
Go Bulls.
And I came down to South Florida, and I couldn't meet girls. And so, someone told me about this lesbian jello wrestling. And at first I was like, what, jello wrestling? I'm like, yeah, but like lesbians go and you can meet some girls. And I was like, okay. And I went my first time just to watch, and I saw a lot of girls being like clothes being taken off, and I was like, wow, I don't want that to happen. So I went to a store and I bought a kid's Superman shirt, so it was super tight, it's not coming off. And I wore like 3 pairs of shorts. And when I went, they just nicknamed me Supergirl because that's what I was wearing. And it was called Spider. Second word is another word for cat. Starts with a P. It's kind of vulgar a little bit. So,
yeah, it's a little bit vulgar.
It's a little vulgar. And yeah, I was in an English pub, and they used air mattresses to cushion the cement floor. And they put a blow-up pool full of Jell-O. And I watched, before I went up, this girl who was 6 foot tall and at least 180 pounds at least, pick up a little girl like 5 foot and slam her. And I was like, that's not what I saw last time. Last time I saw like playing and stuff. What is this? And then while I was getting ready, I found out that that girl was my opponent. And I turned to my friends as I'm getting into this Jell-O, and I'm like, hey, you guys think I can win?
I'm stepping foot into the Jell-O.
Yeah, right? And then all my friends back away and look scared. And I'm like, that's not helping. And then basically she proceeded, because I've never wrestled my whole entire life. Like, I've always been athletic. She basically, at one point, my head was in the Jell-O and I couldn't breathe. And I had a quick flash of, like, someone calling my mother. being like, your daughter, Jell-O wrestling.
Drowned in Jell-O.
We're so sorry. But she couldn't pin me. I ended up wearing her out, and I beat her. And then I started doing every Wednesday for 6 months. And basically, because I was
I'm competitive. Jen's like, I gotta wash the shirt. I'll be back next Wednesday.
Well, that was when I beat her, that feeling of, that's right, you're bigger than me and you slam someone else, but I beat you.
So you're like the Ronda Rousey of Jell-O wrestling.
Yeah, I got really competitive to the point where...
The Anderson Silva of Jell-O wrestling.
I took it very seriously to the point where the commentators would say, I the Tiger, that whenever I Jell-O wrestled...
Did you say commentators?
Yeah, we had commentators there that were like, you know, saying what's going on, introducing us. I kind of never heard the crowd. It wasn't until I was walking on Lincoln Road, average day in South Florida, and I heard someone say Supergirl, that I became mortified. And then I realized what I was doing. Because then someone's like, oh, I have a tape from it. And they showed it to me, and it looked very sexual. And I was like, oh, that's right. It's Jell-O wrestling.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's not what I thought. Like, because, you know, I came
from... You were
from
like, I saw the J. I thought it was jiu-jitsu. I didn't realize.
So, yeah, like, apparently I had like, a little following. But after 6 months, and I've never meeting one girl... I went with my friend, and I went to the girls who throw it, and I'm like, hey, I've put in, like, a lot of time. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're going to go against the champion tonight. She has the belt. I'm like, yeah, but I haven't met one girl, and that was the whole point of this. Like, granted, I like being competitive, whatever, but it was to meet a girl.
Jen slamming girls on the head and Jell-O and expecting to meet a nice girl to take home.
Kind of. And then basically, they were surprised-faced, and they're like, wait, you're gay? Wait, what? I've been coming here for 6 months. You guys didn't know I was a lesbian? They're like, no, we thought you were straight. I was kind of mad, but they went and told all the girls. So then when I walked in, I had girls give me their phone number, people asking for autographs. And my friend who came with me, who I had a crush on, was like, oh, I see why you like this. And I'm like, no, I swear to God, this never happens. Like, girls don't come up to me. This isn't what happened. But it was kind of nice. But it was my last time doing it.
Yeah. Interesting.
So that's how I got the nickname that even... It was, I think, 3 or 4 years after the fact that I stopped doing it, people who I'd recognized from Churchill's Pub would, hey, Supergirl! And I kind of would, like, put my head down and, like, wave a little bit. So, that's the nickname. It's kind of stuck.
Yeah, and Jen played football, too.
That's right, for the Miami Fury.
Miami Fury. Get some!
That's where I learned girls from Texas are very strong and very big.
Is bigger in Texas.
Like, literally, I came home from that game, bruises everywhere, and this lady at Publix, the cashier, was like, oh, honey, you need to leave him. I'm like, no, no. I play football. I play football, and we're in Texas, and she's like, yeah, sure. You need to leave him. I'm like, oh, dang it.
So, Jell-O wrestling led to a kick-ass nickname, which led to football, which led to...
MMA.
Currently standing up. And working on getting these knees right, so.
Well, Supergirl's better than what Sarah had me nicknamed for a while.
What was it? I don't remember.
Bambi.
Oh, that's right. I was going to say Bambi, but I couldn't, yeah. Well, what are you going to do?
She liked it. She was like, oh, because you keep going, but you're like Bambi when you can't, when you're trying to learn how to walk. I'm like, that's not a good fitter nickname. That's the worst nickname ever. You can't go in there.
No, yours isn't the worst nickname ever. The one she gave me is the worst one ever.
What's that?
It won't be told on this show.
You told me later, though, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So what do we got going on today? We have training today. Training some people. Trying to get these hands right. Get ready for these fights. Mm-hmm. Again, that's Master Mir Dad's Muay Thai Classic up in Tampa, August 8th. You can check us out on...
Facebook,
Lucky's Muay Thai, on Instagram, at Lucky's Muay Thai, at the blog, luckysmuaythai.blogspot.com, Twitter, at Lucky's Muay Thai. What's your Twitter handle? I said handle.
I signed up for it a couple years ago. I think I said hi on it.
Oh, good. Anymore. So you have a lot of followers then.
I think I have like 15. I don't know how I got that. I like posted hi.
They were like, hi back.
They're all waiting in anticipation. Like, wait, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. She's going to post something. If you Google LMT, what we pop up right away? Are we that?
That, are we that awesome?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Let's find out right now.
If you Google Lucky's Muay Thai.
What do we have for, like, health tips? Anything from you? Oh, tell me about the ice packs.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so buying an ice pack costs money. It can range between $5 to $10, and sometimes they break, and it's a big hassle, but there is a mixture of rubbing alcohol and water and basically a Ziploc bag. And you put that in the freezer, and it's the same temperature as ice, but it's pliable. Like, it won't ever become like a hard rock. Because I know there's times when I put water in there, or even like my bags that I've actually bought, and it's like that hard. So it won't cover like your whole knee or your whole elbow. But next time on the podcast or on his blog, I will post, there's an alcohol to water ratio that's like the perfect super cheap.
Sounds like a nice weekend.
Oh, for sure. It's better than the full ice baths.
I meant the alcohol to water ratio.
Oh. Yeah.
Although I don't really drink very much anymore. I've had a glass of wine here and there.
I don't drink hardly at all.
I love that. I feel great.
I drink lemonade. I know, I'm super cool when I go out with a girl. Like, I'll have a Heineken. What are you going to have? I'll have lemonade. Do they have root beer?
Can you dilute my lemonade with extra water, please? Yeah. It's a little bit acidic for me.
Or just water. They give you a look like, what's wrong with you?
Oh my God, you know what? I'm looking at you right now, and you know what I want most?
What?
I want your braces to be off. Now, that might sound like a bad thing.
Another month.
But it's only because she wears the double mouthpiece.
Oh.
Braces protector.
Yeah.
And it literally looks like she's got,
I can't even breathe in that thing, though.
I know. It looks like she's got, like, a blue tennis ball in her mouth.
It reminds me of, it's not the same thing, but Silence of the Lambs, how he had the thing over his mouth.
That's exactly what
it
looks like.
I kind of feel like that's what it is. Like, it looks really funny. You're like, what's wrong with her? She looks weird. Oh.
Yeah, the worst part is conversation, for sure.
Yeah.
This is our conversation. All right, I need you to throw double jab, cross, low kick. Is there any questions? Jen will raise her hand, and I'll be like, Jen. She'll go, I'll be like, great. Nope. Okay, everybody, hands up. Let's go.
Well, even that one time, I was trying to tell you guys, I feel like a bobblehead. And I was like, hur. And then I tried yelling. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to yell and pronounce it as much as I can through this mouth guard. And it still wasn't coming across. And I got super frustrated. And then you told me I was banned from saying anything in that mouth guard ever again.
Yes. If you don't, I speak fluent mouth guard. Fluent mouth guard. Many years having conversations in mouth guard. That is not, I don't know what that thing is. Well, that looks like you had silly putty and just stuck a bunch of silly putty in there.
There's a reason why people that fight don't have braces.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I had enough time in between my knee surgeries to just, like, throw that in there.
Yeah, I'm gonna get this done. 3 months, in and out.
Whatever. I have jacked up teeth. It'll straighten out quickly.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
But they look great.
Well, I had piranha mouth before. Jaggedy teeth behind each other.
That's what football and jello wrestling will get you.
Soccer. Kicks to the face. It's great.
She wasn't in Pride. She literally got kicked in the face. In
soccer.
Soccer.
Yeah. Well, apparently when you fly tackle somebody, even though if you're 5'10", you have a lot of space between the foot and your face. It still looks very similar, apparently. Booted. Boom! Head goes back.
Yeah, no good.
Yeah. So, it should be out September at the latest, but I see her coming up, so it might be even August.
Oh, maybe she'll make you one of those professional mouth guards.
She said that she's not really big on those. Yeah. She's like, yeah, there's not a big difference between it, actually.
I hear Shogun the dog barking in the background.
Is your baby back?
Is my baby back? I love my baby. No. I won't do it. No, the baby's not back. I want to give some shout-outs.
Okay, go ahead.
I would like to shout out Felipe, Hugo, who just got in a car accident. Everybody, let's run through the list. Who we got here?
Hugo, Will.
Will. Margaret.
Margaret.
Who gave us great baby gifts with singing and stuff.
Those are
Sarah.
Those are heartfelt baby gifts.
The other Sarah.
Two Sarahs.
Pam. Elliot. Pam. Who is I love her.
Mm-hmm.
She's got more heart than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Eric.
George.
George. Padman. The Padman George.
Oh, jeez.
See how you are? You don't even know who's on the team.
I do know who's on the team.
You don't even know who's on the team.
I do know who's on the team.
Romeo.
Yes,
he's
Romeo.
So supportive.
That's true. Romeo.
America.
Chris Hill.
Yeah, Chris. Big Chris Hill, who starts back training this week.
Mm-hmm. Who's that new guy that's been coming around?
There's a new guy?
Yeah, he's been sparring.
Am I training him?
He was in the class, and he came to the technical. Like, he was sparring a little bit.
I think you're making this up.
No, he was there. I'm like, who's this new guy? I don't know who this person is.
To spar with me?
Not yet. I think he wanted to, but he was kind of like, I think he watched you and Will spar, and he was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't spar with them.
I have to check on Shogun the dog.
Don't leave me alone with this. Great. So, everyone out there at the gym, you know who you are. If you're being left out, many apologies. I really just like the Lucky Left Me Alone with the podcast. and time to be awkward. So yeah, hopefully, I know we kind of touched upon it a little bit before, but Lucky is starting to kind of get back in training because he is going to try to do a pro fight by the end of this year, if not the beginning of next year. And that's something that I know he's always wanted to do. Since I've known him, I felt like he can always take that next step. So let's give some more support out for that. Say hey on Facebook or any of the blogs. And Lucky's back with a package. A box package. Not that.
You know what's cool?
Yeah.
When you get a package.
Were you expecting one?
Sort of. You know what else is cool? When you get a package and you're doing your podcast. And yeah, this is me unboxing the package. All right? Don't hate.
Oh.
Can I get a drum roll or something? Oh. That's like the worst drum roll ever. No. And you spit all over my leg.
What? I did not.
Yeah, you did. This is the biggest box ever.
Oh, nice. Those are very nice.
I got
nice.
Gloves.
They're awesome gloves.
I don't really need gloves. And my woman's probably not going to be happy that I got gloves.
She won't.
But I had to get them.
They look really cool. They look badass.
Yeah, it looks smooth. How are they going to feel when I punch somebody?
Oh, are these 16 ounce?
Mm-hmm. Always. I know. Listen, for you guys out there that don't understand my 16-ounce theory, I'm going to explain it to you one more time. I require everybody to wear 16-ounce gloves for sparring. I think some places don't. I get it. Some people use 12s, 14s, whatever they want to use. That's cool. I like to use 16s. I like my people to use 16s for a number of reasons. Reason number one, you're not going to split your partner's head open, nose open, mouth open. Mm-hmm. More than likely. Mm-hmm. More than likely. Protection for your hand, and also, when you get to the fight and you put on those 12s, they feel so light.
They're 12s when we fight?
Yeah.
For Muay Thai?
Yeah.
What is MMA? Is that 6?
I think they're 4 ounces. Right?
4 ounces?
Yes.
Okay, so it's almost like having weighted gloves.
Yeah.
16.
Yeah.
Because I'll find out October 3rd.
You will. That's only 77 days away.
Yeah. I'm excited for Sarah.
Hmm?
I'm excited to see Sarah fight.
I am too, man. I've never seen somebody pick it up so fast, man.
Yeah.
She picks it up fast.
Yeah.
That's that. You know what that is? That's that athlete thing that we talk about. But she's got the real deal. I mean, I think, you know, when you come from
Years of sports,
and you're used to being coached, and somebody coaches you, and can explain it well, you pick it up right away.
Yeah, but she has that fighter mentality also, though. Like, she's not just the athlete. Like, she'll get in there and bang and not be afraid.
Yeah. Yesterday, she was moving, man. Movement, guys. Don't stand in front and get punched when you can move. I'm not saying run all over the ring, but, or cage. But, definitely. Yeah, I know. I know you can hear it. But you know how it is when you like to do what we do?
It's brand new.
You want to open it and...
They have that brand new smell.
That was me. Sorry.
What?
The smell.
No, that's the brand... the brand new glove smell. That I think is like that new car smell. Because, you know, after a few wears, it's not going to smell like that anymore. Unless you take care of them.
Which is part of the issue of me always having to get new gloves.
Oh, taking care of them?
I mean, listen, you wear gloves how many times?
Every day.
You wear them every day?
Well, Monday through gym every day.
I wear them every day as well.
I mean, I guess we like to think that we don't, but...
We do.
Every single day. And they get sweaty. And let's say you forget them in your bag.
Which we never do. Who forgets their gloves in their bag?
Not anymore. Not since I got the new ones.
Yeah, new ones.
I got new gloves after 5 years.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
They're nice. But yeah, every day I get home, it's like having new shoes for the first time. You want to take care of them. Don't get any scuffs on them. Keep them clean.
That'll last for about maybe a month. I'm not going to have.
Hopefully longer. I'm trying to try very hard this time. Because yeah, my other ones got really stinky. It's not good. It's like wearing wet shoes.
Yeah. Did we miss anything today? We talked about the fights coming up. Mm-hmm. 4th of July. What did you do?
I worked at the comic convention.
Oh, that's right. You did that. I did that as well and then watched fireworks from my balcony, which was dope. I'm not sure if there's anything else going on.
How was the concert?
Are you talking about the amazing Katy Perry concert?
Yeah.
It was amazing. Okay.
You were very missed. Everyone's like, where's Lucky?
Katy Perry, of course. So our 6-year-old Luna wanted to... Well, she didn't know. She loves Katy Perry. So we got Katy Perry tickets and took her as a surprise to see Katy Perry. And it was cool, man. I mean, listen, her first concert's Katy Perry. My first concert was the Jackson 5. Yeah, I know. I'm dating myself. But for her, it was awesome. She got to see her first live performance, female artist, and it was big, man. Flying from the ceiling and... You know.
Production.
Big production. So I thought that was awesome for her. She liked it, and I would take any day off of the week to go and see that. And, in fact, since you brought that up, she's actually performing today with her summer camp group. They're performing some stuff tonight, but I unfortunately got to work. I'll be done with work, but I can't make it there.
Yeah, but they're going to tape it. You can watch it.
Heck yeah, they're going to tape it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she thought it was awesome, so I'm looking forward to see how that might have influenced her performance tonight.
Well, she's already seen a production. She's like, wait a minute. I've seen how it's supposed to be done. Let's go.
Maybe.
And Russell's like, wait a minute, we're only 6.
Right. Meanwhile, she's just taking front center.
You need to tone it down a little bit.
Yeah.
No, I'm toning it down.
She won't tone it down. If you tell her to tone it down, she'll leg kick you. And then faint the left, throw the right, hit the double leg. By the way, just so you know, when they tell you that whole thing about, yeah, your kids watch you, they pick up everything that you do. So this happened. When I first started taking Luna to the gym with me, which is really cool, she would go out and train a client or whatever, and then she would want to work out, she'd pick up some weights, she'd do a little things, and then it became a little bit more serious. She's picking up her weights, she's doing her workouts, like a full workout, sometimes the whole hour I'm training somebody. And then I see her on the bag, and, you know, she could throw a kick here and there, it wasn't a big deal. And then I see her on the back throwing, like, multiple kicks, like 2, 3, 4 kicks at a time. And I do a little pad work with her, and somewhere in between there I say, Luna, how did you learn how to do that? And she said, you know, I watch you all the time, and so I think I can do it. And listen, I don't push her. I don't like, hey, you have to train. And she really was doing. She does very well. So then this happened where she watches the fights with me a lot. I know people might not like that, but she really enjoys it. She'll go to sleep and wake up the next day and be like, who won the fight? And I'll be like, so-and-so won. How did they win? You know, in her sleepy voice, rubbing her eyes. So she's really into it. So we're messing around in the living room, letting her throw beat me up a little bit. She throws a couple of punches. No joke. Hits me with the single leg, which I'm unexpecting. So I sort of playfully and at the same time go, oh, yeah, I'm falling down. So I have to, like, brace myself as I hit the floor. And I hit the floor. She jumps on top, I'm out, you know. And as I start to try to get up, she gets my back, full rear naked choke. I'm like, okay. All right.
And she's 6.
She's got it. Hooks in. You know, the whole thing, head tuck, hand tuck, the whole thing, but it's knocking it out. Then, this just happened, I think, week before last. I want to fight. So we're messing around, so I get up and do a little couple of fights with her. So I'm throwing some punches at her, and she's got her hands up and her elbows in, and she's rolling with the punches. And I'm like, what are you doing? Are you going to punch me back? And she says, no, I'm working on my defense. Okay, fair enough. You work on your defense. Finally, she decides she is going to punch me. And she does this. She feints her left, throws the right cross hard, and hits me in the stomach, in which I go, ow, and that was amazing.
Yeah, she's a little badass.
Yeah, and I didn't teach her to faint. I didn't teach her that.
She watches you, though.
She picks all that stuff up on her own. Yeah. So, if you are doing great things like martial arts and that kind of stuff, awesome. If you are smoking crack, however, or robbing banks, just know your child is probably going to do the same thing.
Well, you want to be a good role model.
I think that's what I was sort of alluding to.
I mean, but I don't think the average American is doing crack. I think they're watching TV, not doing anything at all, being like a couch potato.
Yeah.
So then your kid's going to see that and go, okay, that's cool. Whereas if you, I mean, like Pam, she's super active with the biking and the being out there. So she's giving like a positive, healthy, active approach to life. So her daughter is seeing that as opposed to, yeah, someone that just goes and watches TV.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you showing your kids? Like,
be active.
Have passion for something.
Yeah, passion. This is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think they're probably the best thing you can show your kid is passion. Because if they see that mom or dad or whoever you might be, adopted family, is passionate about something, then they too might become passionate about something.
That's the goal.
Look at us being socially conscious.
Trying.
Well.
Oh boy, we gotta get going.
We do. I gotta go train people. This was LMT The Journey Podcast. Baby edition.
Episode 2.
Part deux. That's French for two.
Oh, gotcha. I was like, what?
Again, shout out to the entire LMT family. Shout out to anybody that's listening worldwide. Stop the violence. Bring the peace. And that goes for everybody.
Oh, wait, real quick. Can people write us questions that they want us to answer?
Yeah, listen, if you want to reach out to us, you can reach out to us on Facebook, on the LMT page, Lucky's Muay Thai page, fan page. You can Instagram me if you want, or Twitter me, at Lucky's Muay Thai. You can hit Supergirl at...
Instagram at no_limits83, or Facebook Jennifer Courtney. I mean, I'll be under your... friends page.
Don't send all these people to me, man. They might have some questions for your jello wrestling ass.
No, but I'll answer them. We'll all answer them.
Yeah, we'll answer them. If you have questions, hit us up. We're down to answer.
Get you guys involved. Or if you want to know something about a fighter, it'd be cool. One day we could have, like, guests.
We should have a guest next week.
I think that sounds great.
I don't know who, though.
We'll have to talk about that.
Maybe Felipe. He's probably the most deserving.
Well, yeah. He's freaking Damian Wayne.
Yeah.
Knowledgeable. Funny. He's worked. I still want you to do with everyone in our group, like the before and after. He's worked so hard.
I have a ton of pictures of him from before, so that'll work out.
But, like, awesome. Like, from seeing him fight his first fight to now, it's awesome.
Next week, we'll have Felipe on as a guest.
Awesome.
And we'll talk. How he got his start with me with LMT. So again, at Lucky's Muay Thai, at no_limits83 on Instagram, Twitter, Lucky's Muay Thai fan page on Facebook.
Oh, the GoFundMe.
Oh, we're going to do a GoFundMe in case anybody wants to help us out. We're trying to get some more gear and be able to travel to fight. They're not putting on Muay Thai fights in Miami, so we always have to travel. And anybody wants to sponsor us, we would love to have a sponsor for clothing or gear just to help us out, help the team out. If you want to hit us up, the GoFundMe will be up on the luckysmuaythai.blogspot.com page and Facebook as well. So we love you all.
So much.
So much. Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu, Boxing, Karate, whatever you might do. Judo.
Any martial art.
Basically. Any martial arts. Love and peace. Peace and love.
Peace out.
Peace out.
Bye. You can do the clock, by the way.